At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
Want to get smarter about investing? Then tune in to the Capital Ideas podcast from Capital Group, home of American Funds Distributors, Inc., one of the world's leading asset managers. Each week, we bring you stock market outlooks, macroeconomic updates, and investment strategies that can help you succeed. Learn from portfolio managers with decades of experience about how they navigate uncertain markets. Prepare to be engaged, enlightened, and entertained by listening to the Capital Ideas podcast today.
This episode is brought to you by Captain Morgan Sliced. Since the dawn of bread, people have known the truth. Sliced is better. That's why new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on four bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors. Pineapple Daiquiri, Strawberry Margarita, Mango Mai Tai, and Passion Fruit Hurricane. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find Sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly. 21 plus only.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Sir, we wear caps and sleeves at this level, son. Understood?
All right, guys, we here at the California Penal League podcast are about a week away from the Major League Baseball trade deadline. It is August 2nd this year. I can't remember why. I think it's because of some collective bargaining stuff.
Probably COVID. But let's just blame COVID or the Russians.
I don't know. Yeah, I can't. There's some reason, but I'm just gonna say forget it. Who cares? So we're August 2nd this year. It used to be the end of July, but we got a couple extra days for the hot stove to start sizzling a little bit because the rumors are starting to warm up.
Hot point of fajitas.
Don't stick your hand on it, baby. It's hot. Although right now you probably could stick your hand on it.
I would say that's one of the top 10 sounds in like culinary wise. Like that's a screw that. It's not top 10. That's a top 3 culinary sound.
It is
out there.
That's also like a Mount Rushmore look at me dish to order.
Oh yeah.
Oh, the fajita. Like, oh yeah.
Who's the tough guy ordering the fajitas?
Yeah.
You got everybody breaking their necks at Applebee's looking at who got the fajita.
Mm-hmm. Holy shit. And then everyone collectively should I get the fajita? Like, we could share them. No, I'll go with the burger.
Like, it smells delicious.
I'm pissed I'm pissed all I got were the nachos.
Yeah.
So this episode is gonna be we're going to try and be as realistic as possible. We're going to do a little bit of a Guardians preview predictions wish list for the deadline for the Guardians. I have a sneaking. Look, if you're talking to some people on Guardians Twitter, they could acquire Juan Soto and that wouldn't be enough. So
they could acquire Juan Soto, Mike Trout, Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer, and Wilson Contreras, and they would still be ticked.
Yeah,
and
so
aren't even available.
I'm happy now, but like
everybody's got a price.
Never spent money before this.
Yeah,
it's like okay,
Dolan is cheap.
Yes, he'll never earn my trust and respect. Now,
to those
people,
I say play the lottery and buy part of the team.
I mean, that's not a bad idea.
Like $810 million.
So after taxes, you do the lump sum. What, 350?
No. 450? It's a little more than 50% that you'd be getting.
Okay, so 450. The team is valued at probably 1.5.
You could, I would buy. I mean, this is in my hypothetical. I would be, you know, reasonable with my wife and go, look, we're gonna just like store away $400 million, and I'm going to take the other 50 to 60, and I'm going to buy like 5% of the Guardians. And I'd be like,
yeah,
who bought the winning ticket? And she'd probably say, I did. And I'd be like, cool. But when we got married, what's yours is mine, and what mine is yours, so thank you for the money.
And she says, I already bought a share of the Red Sox, you bitch.
And no! Like, no! And then I would go hire a lawyer.
This would be still kind of cool to own a baseball team, though. But then you could sabotage NFL, them from within.
Oh, I could.
You can't really get like any significant with the NFL. I would do, you know, like I probably want to spend $150 million on sports franchise buying and then just save the rest, set up charities, film movies. And also, with you guys.
If you bought $150 million worth, baseball in like at least in like 20 years, the portion of whatever baseball team you bought, you're making twice as much money easily. Football.
Easily, yeah.
That investment would double probably in 10 years at the most.
So I'm thinking
other sports, I think it'd be hard to tell.
So you probably do I would do $100 million for the Cavs. That would probably get you 8%, I'm thinking.
Yeah, probably somewhere.
Because they're valued at over a billion, 1.2, 1.3. And then $50 million with the Guardians. That probably gets you 5 to 7%. That's a fun amount. You don't need to work. You get to get courtside, whatever you want.
Yeah.
Both teams are up and coming. Like, that's amazing.
Ooh, if you bought a minority stake in both teams?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Ugh. I just want to sit next to Ursher and get a ring.
Is he still there? Is he still a minority owner? I'm
99% positive he still owns some share of the Cavs, yeah.
Interesting.
I'm pretty sure you're right. I would get a giant typewriter and like dress for work and just walk back and forth between the two places and like pretend to work as like a minority owner.
Yeah, and always just like be posting like away, always be like posting it like on Instagram, just like shots of you in a suit, just like walking in like to the like going to the office and like walking into the arena. Oh God. I wish I was a billionaire. I'd do so many weird things.
I know.
Okay.
But anyways,
that wasn't anything about, cheap trade deadline. Yeah. Anyway, so what we're trying to do here, the gist here before we went down into our fantasy realm, is that we're just going to try and go through our most realistic, what we think could actually probably happen in the next week with the trade deadline. The funny thing is, like, it's fun to, like, as a preface, it's like, it seems to me, and I don't know if you guys have noticed anything else with, like, the national media, it doesn't seem like the national media gives the Guardians much credit or much of a shot at any free agent. Like, I never see, it's always just like, oh, well, who could get Luis Castillo? Well, I guess it could be the Yankees and the Mets. And then it's like, okay.
And the Astros.
Could anyone else? And the Astros, right? But I just see that for every name, basically, where it's like the same four teams.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
the Juan Soto crowd is, it's what? The Dodgers, the Padres, the Mets, the Yankees. I think I've seen the Braves thrown in there.
The Angels.
Yeah, it's just teams along the coast.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Soto one, I'm a little more like, well, okay, maybe. Because, like,
sure,
I don't know
we
if
don't
any
have
other
a
teams
track would be- record of making that kind of a move.
We've never really
although
done
I could see a team, I could see a team like the Twins being like, F it, we're going for it, and doing it for 2 years.
That'd be bomb. That would suck because we have to play them, but like, I would be pretty impressed.
If they were like, we're going with like Buxton, Correa and Soto for 3 years or 2.5 years. Like,
a part of me would have to stand up and applaud that move.
Yeah, I would.
Why not? Why not? I mean, it's enticing. So anyway, so that's kind of the background here. Is we're just trying to see what's out there, because I think like there really are. There's a lot of names out there that I think aren't super sexy. In terms of what it would look like if you acquired them. But there's certainly some things that this Guardians team absolutely needs if they want to stay in the race this year, but then like can also look forward to like next year and beyond. You know, the thought of like acquiring relievers probably doesn't get anybody like super jacked and hard, but
speak for yourself.
Most people, but you can, you can point to what, 2-3 games at least this year where if maybe they had a more solidified bullpen with maybe a veteran or two in there, you might win that game. And all of a sudden, yeah, 2 or 3 wins puts you right there in the wild card spot and potentially in the division lead. So it's make or break.
Well,
so
I mean, anyway, like, let's just take a step back quickly, too. I mean, before tonight's game, which the Guardians lost to the Red Sox.
This was the 3-1 Monday loss. We're recording on Monday.
We were 3 games out of first place in the Central and 2 games out of the wild card. You know, we were 2 games above 500 at 48 and 46. And like you said, Steve, you know, 2-3 more games go our way. Or, you know, I mean, depending on who they are against and all that, you know, but we're right there. And
yeah,
we are going into a tough stretch. Right before we start recording, I made the comment, like, let's just get through this Boston series, Tampa, Arizona, and Houston at 500. And, you know, that would put us past the trade deadline as well. So that should be noted. But, you know, if they make a couple of these moves that we're going to suggest here in a second, you know, we're within striking distance, and it's so painfully obvious. And this is where we just spent, you know, some time kind of, you know, nitpicking some things that we've seen on Twitter. But, you know, some of those points are on point too, in the fact that a couple moves and there's no reason why we can't win the division.
Also, I mean, the second half, basically, it's like every other series is against like a decent team. Mm-hmm. And then you have a team that's under 500. But the fun thing about baseball is, like, you know, we saw it earlier in the year. They could go on a stretch. Mm-hmm. They could go 18-4. And I mean, that's what, like, if they go on a stretch, because they have the Guardians have enough games against the Twins where, you know, if they go on a stretch, oh, where, yeah, they're going to go like 15-5, like they can jump in the division. Like, they're not, you know, it's still super very early. Easy. I mean, I would say statistically, you know, it's probably under 25% they're going to win the division, but also, you know, they have a lot of, you know, really good guys, really young, and some of them unproven. If their pitching rotation gets hot and they make a couple moves at the deadline, you never know. And that's what's so fun about baseball. It's not like, you know, the team, they're the Reds, where it's like, well, you never know, but we're also 18 games out of first.
Below 500.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. And, I mean, ultimately, if the Guardians want to be a playoff team, at some point you're going to have to play and beat good teams, which they've been able to do this year.
Yeah.
But that's why the schedule is designed to be backloaded with division opponents to make it exciting. So if the Guardians are within striking distance in August, you know, you've got games against the White Sox and the Twins still to make it interesting. So, okay.
Yes, all right, they get the Mariners, too. Mm-hmm. Toward the end of the year, so
that's like, and the Rays.
They have some wild card teams and the Rays. Yeah, there's some wild card implications.
They actually that last still month. Really hold.
It could be exciting.
Yeah, they really do still maintain and control their own destiny for both the wild card. Because yeah, they got the Red Sox in this. I mean, God only knows how these next few games will go. But they've got the Red Sox finishing up with here. They still play the Mariners and the Rays, and I believe the Angels. They can bury further if they really wanted to, and then the Blue Jays too. So they could make up ground in the wild card against all those teams at the in the second half and the division. So it'll be fun. I mean, really, it's like, yeah, I don't know what more you could ask for at this point with a team like this young. So in terms of our trades, who we think might be realistic, how do we want to go about this? Should we just each throw out a couple names? How do we want to do this? What's the most like tantalizing way to do this? Why don't we just do a couple at a time? We'll do a little round table.
Throw out two names at a time.
Yeah. Let's do that. All right. And we can maybe bunch them together. So
there is some overlap now that I'm looking at.
And if there's overlap, then we'll just kind of do whatever. Who cares?
It'll be a free for all. Right,
let's do it. Go first.
Okay. So like, I think one of the things that's like, when we're looking at the trade deadline, we've mentioned it a few times, they have a ton of minor league depth in the middle infield. And, you know, I think this year showed the front office, okay, we are next year, I think our window officially opens. And so we're not, you know, a couple years out still. So I think, and we're still not out of the division race, as we just pointed out. So I do have a all in trade, which is we'll do my next go round. But I was looking at trades that could help us short term that we wouldn't give up a ton. But then also guys that we'd have control over who fill areas of need. And then what we give up for it theoretically. And my goal was to use the depth where we have like a lot of repetition in our minor league system. So we're not really, it's not as risky. So first I have a combo where we get Wilson Contreras. So that fills a need. He's on a 1-year deal. Mm-hmm. At catcher. He's an all-star. It's definitely an area of need. It sets up Bo Naylor for next year, so it doesn't hurt the future. And him being on a 1-year deal, I don't think it's going to be too crazy. With Ian Happ, right? I got the first name. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yep. Outfielder, good hitter, control for a couple years. And I put giving up Plesac. I don't know if anybody would even want him at this point, but Plesac, Lavastida is like the bigger piece, and then a couple mid-level guys. I mean, the Cubs are in rebuild mode completely. So I think it gives them a really solid piece. Again, it's repetition for us with our minor league system. And it can help us make it's not the biggest, but it gives us an all-star in a position of need, and it will help us add some depth in the outfield. So I think that's a move that could, you know, certainly help us. It doesn't fill the bullpen need. But that was my first one. And then another one, I think, because we would have so much control of this guy, this would probably cost more. But also their front office is really dumb. So I said Luis Castillo from the Reds. Mm-hmm. This helps us starting pitching. That's something that we all thought going into the season, we weren't really going to have to worry about. I think Espino, I don't know if he gets called up next year, maybe the year after, but I think one of our young guys does. I think Plesac and Savali, I don't see them really. I don't really just see them being a key part of the rotation next year. So that fills, you know, one of your spots. It allows you to bring up one of your young guys, and it allows, you know, that's, he can be your two. McKenzie could step up maybe to Cal Quantrill. It gives you a really solid one through four by doing that. And I think you're going to have to give up a big piece. So Tyler Freeman, which is fine. Because again, repetition, but he's also one of the top prospects, big name, and then probably two, maybe even three mid to low level guys. So those are my first two trades.
Tyler Freeman, I wouldn't say for me, man, I'm not sure he's untouchable, but I would be like, you can have anyone.
He's
else.
A guy.
You can have Brian Roque. You can have Rocchio. You can have Arias. Like, you can have anyone else.
Yeah, there's something about Freeman that I don't want to give up on.
Everybody always raves about his contact ability and eye, and I'm just like, ugh. You throw him in like,
and he's, if you, I mean, had, he's like got a good glove in the field too. So I mean, I envision,
if you're 7'8", 9", if you're 7'8", 9", in the next like 2 years was Tyler Freeman, Bo Naylor, and Miles Straw. That's pretty good.
That is good.
Really nice. That's a really nice. The problem with that though is it's kind of light hitting. That's just the one.
But that's all. But all I want from the bottom of the lineup is get on base, and table turn it setter, over.
Yeah, no. Totally.
But I get what you're saying. Yeah, that's like no bop whatsoever.
Yeah. And I think so anyway, we need bop.
Okay.
I'll give you my top well, we shall two. See. I actually, when I wrote my list, I kind of went in order of most likely to least likely. So this is this will be a fun exercise for me. The first one on my list is Josh Bell. Liked the guy for a while. He had a down season last year in Pittsburgh. Bouncing back this year. He can play first base or DH. And looking, so he's only under control through the rest of this year. He's making $10 million. Right. He'll turn 30 next season. But I think we could probably re-sign him. And the nice thing about if we re-sign him, we really don't need to re-sign him for too long. If we could get him in at this deadline and extend him for 2 years, I think that's plenty. Because in those next 2 years, he could split time at first base and DH, kind of platoon with Josh Naylor. We can figure some things out in the outfield still. Have George Villara come up as well and not blocking an outfield spot there. And, you know, in 2 years' time, maybe it's time to start looking at John Kenzie Noel at first base. So, really, the only person who would be affected by a Josh Bell acquisition would be Framil Reyes. Guy's got like, what, 7-8 home runs on the season? And I think like less than 35 RBIs, and we're approaching August. He's kind of on a short leash, but maybe Washington's like, hey, you know what? He's a little bit younger than Bell. We'll take him back in a deal, maybe as a reclamation project, you know, and some other piece, you know, prospect likely or a pitcher. I mean, I could see them taking Framil and Zach Plesac, to be completely honest, because Bell's essentially a rental. And those would give them two younger, controllable pieces that they could start to, you know, that have some major league experience. Does Washington want that? That's a whole different set of questions. So Josh Bell, and then, you know, kind of with the idea that actually, honestly, all the guys that I have on this list have some team control, but I would also try to look to re-sign them or extend them at least. And again, just, you know, extend Bell for at least 2 more years. Second guy on my list is Ian Happ as well, Fabs. Like the guy since he came into the league, he provides positional, you know, versatility. He can play all over the place. He could be a second baseman for us if we really, truly needed it. He can play in the outfield. He's hitting for a nice average. He's got some pop. He checks a lot of boxes, and he's kind of the player that I'm like, I'm hoping maybe like an Owen Miller could become. I mean, and I'm not saying that I'm giving up on Owen Miller, but I'm also not sold on him either. So, you know, I think
Owen Miller, I mean, Miller certainly has acquired a decent amount of major league experience at this point. You know, it's starting to at least that, kind of get an idea of who he can
be. Yeah. And I hate that we're keep playing him at first base, but that's a different topic for a different day.
Dude, that's nightmarish. Yeah. Yeah.
But
getting like a Josh Bell would essentially eliminate ever having to play him.
Exactly. And I don't know why we're not playing Naylor more at first base either, but that's, again, different topic, different day.
Some of our lineups have been very confusing, to say the least.
Yeah. But both Bell and Happ would give us a little more offensive thump. And no, they're not sexy names, but they're the kind of guys that a lot of playoff teams have. They're those glue guys, those kind of X factor dudes that just kind of always seem to be there. And again, mm-hmm. these guys, I mean, Hap's going to turn 28 next year too. So, I mean, we would have him for a year and a half. So again, look to probably re-sign him to some kind of deal. It's his last year of arbitration next year. But I mean, he's only making $6.85 million this year. So you got to figure next year arbitration's probably going to be somewhere in the ballpark of like, I don't know, eight and change, $9 million range.
Yeah.
I think he's well within our budget. That was my other factor in some of these deals too, was, contracts.
Do you real quick, I don't want to cut Steve off, but how much do you think the minority owner will play in free agency?
So good question. And I think at least the guys that I'm rattling off, no one on this list that I have is making over $10 million. Josh Bell is the highest paid player on my list.
He makes 10, I believe.
And he's making 10. And I don't see him getting a huge pay raise. I think you could probably go to him and say, hey, Josh, here's a 2-year, $25 million deal for the next, you know, like I said, next 2 years. 12 and a half a year. I think he probably takes it. And I think one or two of those kinds of moves,
I bet you get it.
Is where Blitzer, he'd do it for
a third year. He'd want a third year.
Probably. He probably would want that third year, but I mean, dollar wise, 12, 13 million a year. I could see him probably settling in that range. And I think that's where, like I said, Blitzer kind of comes into play. And I think, you know, an additional $25 million in salary is certainly achievable with the minority owner now. Because what were we paying our buddy Edwin? Everybody likes to say, you know, that was a $20 million deal.
It was 20, right? Yeah.
It was $20 million a year. It was three years for 60. Yeah. So, and everyone's pointing to, oh, well, Sherman, you know, without Sherman, that deal doesn't get done. So, yeah, I mean, an extra $20, $25 million seems to be very manageable.
Or $45 million for 2 years, each year for 2 years, for like a Juan Soto.
We're going to have to get into that. That's the real dream.
It's on my list.
That's the real dream.
Yeah. I don't care if the team loses every game going forward if we got Juan Soto at the trade deadline. If we literally just lost out, I'd be like, whatever.
It's worth it. We got two more years.
I'm ready for 2023. So, all right. Well, my first two have already been discussed to some extent. So Ian Happ and Luis Castillo, both I've got on my list. Ian Happ, for all the same reasons. I like him a lot because he has the outfield versatility. I think it would be hard to, and that gets into one of my choices here after these other two names, but Ian Happ and then Luis Castillo, he signed through next year as well. So that really is the big factor there, that having him for a full season next year, when you're talking about a rotation that's still going to have Shane Bieber, Tristan McKenzie in another year, Cal Quantrill, and then Luis Castillo, and then whatever you want to do in the fifth spot,
Gavin Williams, rotation and Espino.
Oh my God. Well, you start the year with Plesac or Savali, probably.
Sure.
And then by the end of the year, it's going to look vastly different, would be my guess. So, Castillo makes just like a ton of sense, not just for this run, but for next year. And no, there's no way you're going to re-sign him. But I would give up.
He's going to be 30 next year. He's going to be 30 next year. So
yeah, he might get like one of those goofball 7-year deals. from someone. The Angels probably would do it.
Seven years, $210 million.
It's very plausible and likely, but, you know.
I like that. Plausible and likely.
I mean.
It's both.
I'm just talking myself more and more into it.
You're right. Well, because if you're looking at that, though, like, I was literally thinking about this, like, right before I jumped on with you guys. I was like, oh, yeah, Shane Bieber, his extension at some point. What does that look like if that happens? I don't know.
Hey, I mean, if he can keep his record below 500 this year, we might get him on a little bit of a discount.
I mean,
I know records not the end-all, be-all statistic, but.
Well, those advanced stats aren't much better either, to be honest. Well, just as a quick closing note on Luis Castillo.
Yeah,
it's very concerning. But a closing note on Luis Castillo. Last three seasons, 2020 to 2022, he's got a 3.54 ERA in 58 starts, 363 strikeouts in 335 innings, an ERA plus of 1.33 and a FIP of 3.36. So the man is...
It's sexy. And he's just consistent.
Very reliable. Fantastic. Yep. You want him in your rotation, and I know you'd have to give... The thing is, you'd have to give up pretty good young talent, but, like, so what? Have some prospects, man. Here's a bunch of... Here's some pitchers that we have in the pipeline.
We have so many. We have so many.
Pitchers. Here's some young guys in the lower levels of the minors that I bet the Reds would be very willing to take. Like, do you like Petey Halpin? Here you go. In addition to, like... maybe a couple pitchers and like a Gabriel Arias, who I will include in every deal moving forward. It would be a very, it's a plausible deal. It's a deal that I could see actually happening.
That's a good deal. I mean, I can also see the Twins making a move for him because they don't have any good pitching.
It's flimsy to some extent. Yeah, I could totally see that. So I think the Guardians are more in it than. Of course, it's like the Yankees trying to get him. But again, it's just like, what?
Naturally.
I don't get it. Like, with what? What are you giving up? Are you going to give up that Jason Dominguez guy?
If there was one time that those skyline-eating chili fanatics in northern Kentucky could ever just set their differences with us northern folk aside... it is on this deal.
This is the thing to unite us.
This is the thing.
I mean, their front office
that bridges
is dumb.
That gap.
Their front office is really dumb.
Please, but their front
office don't realize.
I wonder if you can convince their front office that he was on our team, and they're like, "We'll just cancel. We'll just take Castillo back." And they're like, "Oh yeah, okay." Okay. Yeah, we sent over his contract. Like, can you send it back to us? Oh, yeah, no problem. And then we staff him.
That sounds like
we'll
a
Browns give you guys the Ohio Cup
stuff when it comes around.
It's like, okay, we'll give you guys the Ohio Cup.
You guys can have it for 2 years.
You guys can have it. I know we won it, kind of, but we split the series, but we'll give you the Ohio Cup. And we'll trade you Gabriel Arias, straight up. Deal.
That's fair for everybody.
It's a win-win-win. Yeah.
All right.
I'm excited. I love trade deadlines. I get so jacked much
fun.
For this stuff.
It's so fun. I just hope that it lives up to it this year. There's too many. There's so many teams in it that it's hard to. But then there's also a pretty decent amount of teams that aren't, that I think by now are starting to be like, yeah, we could probably sell. So,
well, see, this is the first, like, minus, because we didn't have a trade deadline for the COVID year. This is the first with the expanded postseason. So there's even more teams in it now that are still in the thick of the wild card race.
Well, that's why I'm thinking, like, maybe, like, if a team just is like, forget it, we're going to pack it in, you probably will get better deals because you're gonna have more bidders.
Right.
So like I wonder if like some of the like movement will be crazy just because like some of these teams that aren't gonna be out of it are gonna be like, oh, forget it. Let's just like blow it up. You know, like let's just let's move a guy that we might not have otherwise because like the
right.
market wasn't there. But, okay, my other, let's see, I'll get into my other guys here. So my other two names are Michael Givens and David Robertson, two relievers with the Cubs. Both, I believe, are only signed through this year, but I mean, you're talking about two veteran. They're just like, I mean, David Robertson's been a closer for like 38 years in Major League Baseball, and Givens has had a very
he's been on a trade block for about 38 years between the
yeah, that is true. That's a name that comes up every single year. But like when you look at their, I mean, not just their stats this year, but like the careers as a whole, it's like, you know, these are names that like at this point maybe don't like I said before, they're not sexy and they don't blow you away. But like if you somehow went to the Cubs and you gave them something that would land you both of those guys for the rest of the run of this year, and you might be able to re-sign one of them next year. I mean, the Guardians really should consider spending a little bit more money in the bullpen next year, aside from the annual re-signing of Brian Shaw. But the
well, he's under contract for next year.
That is true. I forgot about that. Like, is another $3 million?
He's under contract. Something like that. Like him and Class A are like the only guys that are, you know, locked in.
Oh my god, I love it.
Year. Everybody else is either team control or arb, I thought. Actually, I don't even know if anybody in the bullpen's arbitration eligible.
Next year he's signed for $19 million.
Yep. Just gonna take up all of our salary.
$4 million.
May as well be 19.
Dude.
So yeah, I know. So, all right. So David Robertson and Michael Givens are both signed through this season, but they are like, Givens has a 287 ERA and Robertson has a 183 ERA this year. So if you somehow pulled off some crazy deal, which wouldn't take like a ton of, I mean, it wouldn't be like that outrageous to acquire two relievers on expiring deals. But to me, if you looked at the team as it's currently built, that would be the thing that would set that like set you up perfect for the rest of this year. And then you just see what happens next year. But, and I know they like to get guys that they can control, but like, God, those are two just veteran relievers that I would just kill to have on the roster now.
Yeah. And I mean, like you said, I don't think it takes a whole lot that like, you're not getting rid of two top prospects or anything like that.
I was going to say, I'm going to get crazy, Steve, and say, even taking one of those guys and Hap, and I'm happy.
Now, that would be wild. That would actually be like blockbustery.
Okay, wait. Let's get crazy. Add Contreras to it. What are you guys giving up for those four?
Well, wow. But the only thing is with the catcher, I mean, I'm just not like, I'm not dying for them to acquire a catcher.
No,
I guess
me neither.
But I mean, I would give up.
It's for this year's run.
So here's my only problem about with the catchers.
Is that
Sean Murphy's batting like 215.
Right.
I hate to say it, but like, that's literally just like one more hit a week than Austin Hedges. Down right. the stretch.
Yeah, like, I mean, Contreras clearly has a good, he's having a good season.
Yeah.
But it's just, then you wonder like, okay, well, like,
how does he walk?
You know, adjust to the pitching staff?
Yeah.
How does he, you know, call a game? It would be a weird transition. And I'm sort of just on that. Not that I'm like this like huge believer, but I'm just like, well, next year I would almost roll with Bo Naylor as your opening day catcher with like re-signing Austin Hedges as your backup.
I'm cool with
and
that.
And just like I and don't... just rolling with that. So a part of me is like
I was gonna say not to cut
I wouldn't
you
be
off.
Shocked.
I like that idea, Steve. I just don't see them having Bo Naylor starting the season in a Guardian
uniform. So you sign
So you sign Austin Hedges. They're gonna, you sign Austin Hedges to be your starter.
First 6 weeks. There's a chance. Yeah, don't get me wrong. There's a chance, but I can see them just going, go to Columbus, rake for 6 weeks, and then mid-August, holy cow, mid-May, you're coming up.
Yeah, I guess I'd like to see where his season ends.
Yeah, I mean,
see where that goes.
I mean, he's young and he's mashing, and it's super tantalizing to think about him being a productive piece in this lineup. I just don't.
That one's iffy. It's iffy. Yeah, yeah. I'm just thinking
21, 22.
Yeah, it's just like so barren out there though. That's my only thing is like, it's just such a beyond like a Wilson. If Wilson Contreras, if you could guarantee that you could somehow like get him for another season, I'd be like drooling over that deal to like somehow get all four of those guys. It's just
Sean Murphy deal makes more sense because he's controllable for like, I think three additional seasons or something like that, or two additional seasons.
But like you said, it's just like, okay, like, well, yeah, he hits like 215. So
he's betting 247. He's betting 247, guys.
Is he?
Sean Murphy?
Yeah, 247. Yeah.
Oh, he did have a good, he has had a good stretch recently.
And he's gone on a tear recently.
Yeah, he is currently batting 245, 11 home runs, 40 RBIs.
I mean, that's not like, it doesn't like make me want to like give up the farm. But
yeah, it's not worth it.
I don't think you'd have to give up the farm for him, but I don't know.
I
just want more Naylors in our lineup because they're psychos and they're positive psychos and I love it.
Yes. My concern about the catcher spot too is that there's a lot of teams that need catchers. And if Contreras and Murphy are the only two available, seemingly available, I should say, it's going to be an artificial bidding war out there.
You're right. You're going to overpay for that.
And I just, again, like Steve said, I don't necessarily believe that's where you want to overpay.
And I think the organization, by calling Naylor up to Columbus, I mean, they're indicating that, like, they're looking to bring him up in the next, like, less than a year. And so, like, if you can get Contreras cheap, awesome. You do it and you get a bullpen guy and, like, let it ride and see where the season takes you. I think that's fine. But yeah, I don't think it's going to make any sense if you're going to give up a guy in a bidding war that's under control for 3 or 4 years. Where it's like you have a guy. I think they have a guy of the future that like is like right there.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, the only positive if you were to land a Murphy, you could seemingly flip him in a year's time.
That's true.
I don't know. I was gonna say I'll dive into my next two. If you've covered if you've wrapped up your thoughts on those. The first guy I'm going to name, you just mentioned, Steve, Luis Castillo. For all the same reasons, I would love him. He is only controlled, like you said, through next season. If we could somehow extend him in like an extra year, that would be awesome because, again, like I just said about Murphy, you could theoretically, if you were to extend Castillo, it's, you have him for 2.5 years then, and maybe you can flip him. And I did not know this until I started looking this up, but he's from the same hometown as Jose Ramirez. And
oh, I don't know,
maybe they hit it off or something. Good. They're like buds. And I was like, that would be sweet if that Jose connection somehow makes him want to stay. Like I just said, though,
you do wonder
moving forward if like a part of a bidding war.
Yeah. If you wonder if moving forward, like with Ramirez being here and for the long haul, if it would like almost like NBA style convince, like, I know it's always a big thing in the Hopefully. NBA, but like, would it make a free agents or guys be more willing to extend or whatever? Maybe. I mean, not like the biggest names, but like guys that like,
no,
are like, yeah, I could play here. Cause like this team's going to be good for a while. Maybe.
I mean,
it would be interesting to see.
He and Ahmed Rosario are hitting it off. And like, I know I was talking about just like trade Ahmed, but I'm starting to come around to the idea. I was like, well, maybe we don't trade Ahmed. Like, yeah, he's a defensive liability out there. I do like his bat. I can live with the defense.
Yeah.
You know, I can live with.
Defense is for nerds. Like, if you have good enough pitching, you don't need defense.
Dude, that's so true.
You can teach him defense.
Strike everybody
you can teach
out.
Him defense.
Just yeah. We need guys that are averaging like 19 strikeouts per nine innings.
Here's actually, speaking of that, our strikeouts from our starting pitching are down this year.
Big That's time. Not surprising because of the loss of velocity. Yeah. Although, like out of the break, Quantrill and Shaw were like slinging heat.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah. Couple days off,
Shaw
man.
Hit 97. God
couple
damn!
Days off,
Quantrill
baby.
Hit like 96.
We can't.
Like, holy
this,
shit!
That should have been a freaking sign to Tito not to pitch Shaw like on like 7 hours rest.
Yeah.
Like my goodness, the guy's 34, 33 years old. Like, give the old man a break. Us old timers need some time to recuperate.
I think the bullpen's sort of in shambles to some extent when like there is still something to be said for guys having roles in the bullpen. And right now it's very clear to me.
Before you say that, what is De Los Santos' role? I like that.
That's
guy.
What I'm saying. That's what I'm that, saying. That, I don't,
that dude
I don't
doesn't
know.
Even have a role.
Sometimes he's a mop up guy. Other guys, at times he comes in like a high leverage situation. I have no idea. I do not understand where he, like, why he wouldn't have pitched in that Chicago series.
And Sam Hinchin is kind of starting to delve into that a little bit, too.
Well, he's struggling. The same with Morgan.
He is struggling.
And,
it's like,
and my thing with that is, like, Morgan isn't a reliever by, you know, he's not built to be
not
a reliever.
Not by trade, no.
He doesn't
no.
have. Like, and he doesn't really have, I would say he doesn't even necessarily have the stuff to be a reliever. He's a starter.
I think he can learn how to be a reliever. I think.
Well, he might not be an eighth
from
inning
starting,
guy. I don't know.
Well, yeah, but like give all three of these guys that we just named a role. And I'm going to throw in. And this is the perfect segue into my next guy who I would target in a trade. And it's David Bednar from Pittsburgh. He's arbitration eligible through the 2026 season, which will be his age 31 season. He's making like the league minimum.
Dolan's hard. It's just a progressing Vince McMahon meme right now. Tell me more.
Yeah, no, this is like he is the perfect Guardians trade target because he's locked up, you know, through with team control for, you know, the next 4 years. And you just plop him in there with Class A and Morgan and Stevens and De Los Santos and, Henches, like we just mentioned, and maybe Karinchak. I don't know. You know, we still have a couple dudes in the minors who are showing some. You know,
Karinchak was throwing well today.
Yeah, he's pitched okay.
Yeah, I like those five walks for nine innings. Series. That's always fun.
Well, yeah. I mean. If there isn't a guy on this roster who comes out into out of the bullpen and doesn't make you lose your lunch, then, I mean, are we even a Cleveland baseball franchise? I mean, because...
That's true. That is true.
Since the dawn of time, I think that's been, like, written... Like, I think that was, like, actually, like, the 11th commandment that, like, just kind of got lost in translation. Like, the Cleveland Baseball Club shall have a relief pitcher who makes their fans uneasy forever.
At least it's not the closer.
And if it's not the closer, yeah, if it's not the closer, it will be every setup man possible.
Yeah,
yeah, it'll be either
every high leverage pitcher,
either the entire bullpen. Yeah, either the entire bullpen rules up until the closer who will walk the bases loaded most nights, or it'll be the closer's nasty and the rest of the bullpen getting there as a issue. So I get it.
Yeah. But I mean, David Bednar is another guy that we could just plug in there and, you know, seemingly fills a big void in that back end of the bullpen. Plus, yeah, he's another power arm. That's the wave of the future in bullpens, man. Just give me nothing but power arms.
That one will cost you.
It's not going to be cheap. It's not going to be. I don't even know where to begin to take. You know, because of that team.
I just threw a bunch of random prospects in for my, because I also put Bednar in mine.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Chris, what else you got?
Was that your?
I'm going to say those are my top four, and I have a fifth. Okay. But my fifth, you know, we gotta string the audience along a little bit more. So Fabs,
we can skip. I also had Bednar, so I only have one more.
Okay,
and he is a great nickname, Childish Bambino. He's from Dominican Republic.
Oh, I thought we were talking Donald Glover for a second.
No, Childish Bambino. Yeah. He's from Dominican Republic. He's only 23. He's probably one of the best players in baseball. Doesn't want to resign with his current team.
Whoa.
And if you are sick of prospects like I am, you can just get rid of them get this guy for 2.5 seasons and maybe an extra year or two. If you want to back up a Brinks truck, give him $90 million for 2 years. He'll only be 28, so he can sign his 10-year massive deal. That would be Juan Soto. And in my latest deal, get rid of Franmil. Arias, Steve wants him in every deal, so there you go.
Yeah, perfect.
They're going to want Espino for sure.
Yep.
And then I think Valera. And then two other just mid to low level prospects. I think that could legitimately get the deal done because it gives them it replaces a bat, not as well, but it replaces a bat. And then it gives them three top level prospects. And that's really what they're looking for. They're looking for reducing their payroll and rebuilding. And then you get a couple rando prospects as well. I think that's better than any deal I've read that's on the table right now from definitely the Yankees. Or your real competition is going to be probably the Braves, Dodgers, Padres, maybe.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I know we're not a Juan Soto away from the World Series, but we might be. You fucking never know with baseball. That's what's so fun about it.
Well, I would say we're a hell of a lot closer. It's like, I think we can win the division.
But, like, I think you are a Juan Soto and maybe a trade for a reliever, and then bringing up one of our young pitchers next year away from the World Series. I think that team can't compete for the World Series for a 2-year window.
We open that window up for a couple more years.
Exactly. You get a couple more years. So, you know, like we've never really gone for it. The craziest trade really in recent memory was the Andrew Miller one. And that worked out really well for us. But it would be really fucking fun to see Juan Soto on the Guardians because no one would expect it. It'd piss off so many big markets, and that would just be delightful.
So the funny thing is, Fabs, that you said 2 years at $90 million total. And the more I'm thinking about it, that sounds so spot on. Just absolutely, positively, you go to him with that offer. And if he says no, well, then, you know, all right. At least you tried. You shot your shot. I'm just trying to think of, like, who else to round out that deal. So you said Franmil, Arias,
so in my deal, Valera, I had Franmil, Espino. Arias, Espino. Yeah, those are my, like, top four guys.
I'm thinking and maybe, again, like,
as what I said earlier, those are all positions where there is repetition with top-level prospects. So, yeah, it sucks. You lose, you know, some top-tier prospects. But, like, you have other top 100 prospects that are replacing those guys.
So here's a thought too. I think a Plesac has some value, especially to a team like the Nationals. And then since you're landing Soto, you don't need Kwan and Jones, so one of those guys could be included.
Right.
I mean, yeah, if you could somehow keep
it's probably Nolan Jones.
I doubt it. But like, yeah.
I don't think if they're gonna do a deal with us, I don't see how you can't give up Espino. That's gonna be the first name
of you're like, probably right.
He's in the deal.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know what their minor league pitching looks like. So I don't know what they value more is like because if they have like three guys are like, oh yeah, we have guys like we're like ready to go. We need to replace the bats and we need like an infield. And it's like, cool, we have tons of middle infielders. Like, who would you like?
Yeah.
I mean the Nationals are in like full on rebuilding mode. There's almost gonna be nothing that they wouldn't need. Mm-hmm. So I feel like thrown out there as a deal like makes a ton of sense because it's just like you're getting a giant haul of guys that you're going to stick anywhere. If you're getting Juan Soto, I could certainly stomach the thought of losing Daniel Espino. Everybody else is expendable.
Yes.
Daniel Espino. Yes. It's like
totally.
Pitchers are tough to, you never quite know, and pitchers are a more fragile position. So not that I would say flippantly just get rid of him, but that's the only deal where I'd say like I could live with that I could certainly
Would you rather get rid of Gavin Williams and Logan T. Allen and keep Espino?
No, I would just go with one. You're getting one pitcher. Pitching to me is all about the quantity,
the probability.
Give me the quantity.
Give me two shots versus one.
Because ultimately, that's what like Plesac and Savali do. It's like, okay, we need just guys who fill out a rotation more than anything at any given year. It's like some years you get real, like the Guardians we've been very blessed to have rotations that were like all time best rotations. Like that 2017 rotation was nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't get that all the time. It's very rare. And really, most of the time, you just need dudes who can like go out and give you 25 to 30 ish starts a year and just get the job done. So a Quantrill is that kind of guy. That could be a Gavin Williams. That could be a Logan Allen. But if they're better than that, hell yeah, that's sweet. If they develop the way McKenzie kind of has, awesome. But yeah, I would just go for the quantity. So like if they want a Spino for freaking Juan Soto, it's like, sure. That sounds great. And he's in the National League, and we'll see him a little bit less. Although we'll have to at least
see him. We might see him once a year at most, unless we see each other in the World Series.
Well, then we all win then.
Yeah.
Well, geez, mine's a big come down from Juan Soto, because my last guy. I know Josh Bell had already been mentioned, but my last guy was Trey Mancini, who is 30 years old, but does have a $10 million mutual option for next year and can not only play first, but dabble in the outfield as well, which I think to me gives him a leg up over Josh Bell in the current iteration of the Guardians lineup, because if you're going to acquire a first baseman, you're going to have to do a lot of puzzle piece finagling between whoever you acquire and where Josh Naylor will play, because like you really don't want him in the outfield, like with his leg.
Well, you just DH him. You get rid of Franmil and you just start DHing him.
Well, that's the that becomes an interesting proposition. Is like we've talked a lot about trading Franmil, and I could certainly get around to that idea. I'm way more agreeable to a Franmil Reyes deal than I would be to an Ahmed Rosario. Even if Reyes has the pop that he does, I'm like you said, it's like the short leash, and also he can only DH really. So that limits what you can do with him. And he's like, he goes through, when he goes cold, he goes cold. And this year has been,
it's rough.
Well, the whole year has been cold.
You put him in the cleanup spot this year. It's like a black hole in the lineup. He's getting dropped to fifth, sixth. Like suddenly, you know, that like sort of talk about like, well, you got to extend Franmil has gone out the window. Yeah.
Now you could pivot and say, well, and you got to extend Ahmed.
Dude, wouldn't be opposed to that.
He's only under control for next year.
It's his last year of arbitration.
Yeah.
I would be shocked if they didn't sign him, because he'll be very affordable, and he gives you the depth in your lineup that you're looking for. Defense is whatever, you know. At some point, he'll probably dabble in like third base, or they'll do something weird one year, and he'll play first base in spring training.
I mean, he can play third. You can move Jose back to second and then move Jimenez to short.
There you go. Perfect. Sold.
And then you trade all those middle infield bitches for Juan Soto. Get out of my farm system.
I don't want to read any more goddamn articles about these prospects in the Guardian system. Go.
I'm starting to get fed up with some of the prospects, because it's like, for the most part, a lot of those guys, I feel like maybe post trade deadline next year is when you could start to see some of them, because they are so young.
Yeah.
I don't want to be having these same conversations next year. I also don't want to just give up for nothing.
I know.
So there's that on the flip side too.
That's the thing. Yeah. It's like, I don't want to,
I mean, flip I can talk Gabriel myself, Arias I can talk myself into I, any one direction.
Yeah. I don't want to flip Gabriel Arias for like friggin' David Robertson. And then like at the end of the year, like be like, see you later. Right. And then like Gabriel Arias actually becomes something. It's like, damn.
You know who I would trade Gabriel Arias for in a heartbeat? Is Brian Reynolds.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We've been down that road.
We're gonna keep on marching down that road, because he's
that's
my last
mostly
guy.
What this podcast is.
just a Brian Reynolds love fest.
And if you guys haven't caught on to that,
it is realistic. Pittsburgh's not going anywhere. The sooner Pittsburgh realizes that they're not going anywhere in the next 3 years, the better off they're gonna be. Sorry, Pittsburgh. Sorry, Permane brothers. Sorry, Steelers fans. Sorry, Mitch Trubisky. Sorry, the fish that saved Pittsburgh.
Look, that would be fantastic.
Sorry, all of you guys. I'm sorry.
I just don't see it, because eventually Pittsburgh has to hold on to some talent.
O'Neill Cruz.
Bednar makes sense
O'Neill
to me Cruz. Because there you go. You just need one guy.
You just need one, yeah.
I think
he's your all-star for the next decade.
That's right. Bednar makes a lot of sense, because you can, if you're a team that's like sort of in the dumps, it's like, we could trade a reliever. Do we really know if this reliever is going to be anything in the next 4 years?
Like, he's 27 too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's like, that's a guy where it's like, sure, he's having a great year now.
He had a good year last year too, but yes, this year is you know, above and beyond that. So, yeah, and I mean they got him from San Diego, and San Diego loves to trade bullpen pitchers, just like willy nilly, just like you get a bullpen pitcher, you get a bullpen pitcher. We need to make a deal. Oh, you want like three of our best bullpen arms? Take them.
See, that's kind of what I would argue is probably what the Guardians are like moving towards is like the reason they probably drafted. I mean, certainly the reason part of it that they drafted so many pitchers was like, who can we turn into a reliever? Who will we be able to like,
it's just a numbers game.
Yes, that's all it is. And like, if you're a team that's in the absolute dumps, like the first place you go to move players is your bullpen. Yeah. Because in 4 years when you compete again, it's going to look totally different. Like, go look at like bullpens from like some of those years with the then Indians, like before they hit the playoffs, and you're just like, whoa, like who the hell is this?
Right.
So the turnover can be huge, but like once you find a couple guys at the right time, it makes sense. And the Pirates are just nowhere in the next, like, I would say 3 years. So it's like, sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
In 3 years, Brian Reynolds will be 30. They do have him locked up through 2025. So he fits that window. I mean, he is just young enough where he can fit that window and give them, even if he has a traditional career where it kind of starts, you know, things start going down the, you know, start going sideways with him when he's 32, 33 years old. That's still probably 2 to 3 good years of when they should start contending too.
Right. It's the Ryan Zimmerman, Alex Gordon type of career.
Exactly. Exactly.
Where he'll be the veteran on what you would hope might be a decent to contending team in 3 to 4 years. But, you know, the Pirates have done plenty of stuff in the past that, Pirates, like you said about the Reds fans, yes. It's like, this is how you are so bad for 35 years and make the playoffs like twice. Like, it's crazy. I mean, that's...
we brought it...
This is how teams stay bad.
We brought it up 2 weeks ago. We were just asking what his role here is in Cleveland was in De Los Santos, and Pittsburgh had him last year, and they were just like, nope, we don't need him. Go away.
Oh, and like, think of all the trades they've made. Like, they just like gave away Tyler Glasnow. They get arms like that they clearly can't identify or work with just to provide some bullpen depth. They constantly are doing that. So I mean, I think
what do they get back in return for
it's certainly Garrett plausible Cole? That gosh, I don't know. I'd have to go back and look, but like, you essentially gave away Garrett Cole and Tyler Glasnow, because with Glasnow, I think that was the Archer trade, I believe.
Yes.
And that
Austin Meadows and Glasnow for Archer. Face. Could you imagine that team?
Yeah,
if they had Garrett Cole, Glasnow, Austin Meadows, Brian Reynolds, Josh Bell still, like,
oh yeah.
Like,
they might, yeah, they'd probably be competing in that terrible division.
Like, if they could have just held on to some, like, I mean, now again, we're cherry picking some of their bigger swings and misses here, but holy cow, would that team be stacked?
Well, the scouting to see what they would get in a return failed them, but then also, like, 100%. You have an owner that. You think the Dolans are bad? The Pirates have an owner that prioritizes like all nothing. There's nothing above like saving a penny with that organization. So
yeah,
it's a disgrace. It's like, I don't know how, you know, it's because like, and this is a tangent for another day, cause we're going to wrap things up here. Cause I think we got through everything, but like when teams don't open their books and they turn a profit solely because they keep the cost so low, it's like, that might be a way to run a business, but like if as a baseball team, it's like a disgrace. So
it feels like they're still kind of hanging their hat on. What was it? 13, 14, and 15 when they made the wild card game and couldn't advance. Yes.
They made like a single wild card game.
Yeah. I think they went to a series once.
Did they? I don't think they did.
I thought they did against like the Cardinals or something, got like swept. Maybe I'm wrong.
If they did, I don't recall it.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, it seems like they're like, hey guys, remember like 6-7 years ago when we had that like nice little run of wild card appearances? Come out to the ballpark and watch our team.
Yeah, we had some talent. We traded it away and got literally nothing in return. Yeah, so we have
nothing to show like for that it too. Now. Yeah.
Oh, they did. Like you're right. In 2013, they beat the Reds in the wild card, like the one game wild card game, and then they lost in 5 to the Cardinals.
Oh wow! I can't believe I remember so that.
They won 94 games that year. Wow.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that really helps Pirates fans sleep at night. So,
yeah, remember when you guys
in 2015 they won 98 games and they finished second in their division.
They were legit for a couple Cardinals. Of years.
They had some. They had that 2013 to 2015 window. They actually had some nice teams, and then, like you said, Steve, they just blew it up.
I mean, that's why it's so precarious to make these deals, because if you can't get anything in return, it's like, I mean, it's a nightmare for your franchise.
And honestly, that should actually serve as a cautionary tale to the Guardians. Don't stand pat.
Well, that's true, because people get, again, we've talked about it for so long, is that people get so hung up on prospects. Mm-hmm. That in a lot of times it's like you always want to try and go with the established major leaguer, because you just never know with a minor leaguer what's gonna happen. It's like we've talked about Gabriel Arias ever since he came over here collectively, and it's just like, he's got a great glove, but like, I don't know if he's done much in the minors offensively to make me be like, oh, holy shit, this guy has to come up. And like,
he hasn't.
Is he suddenly going to like turn it on at the major league level? So it's like, if some other team thinks he's still got the potential, it's like, yeah, I'm willing to roll the dice if it means a reliever like Bednar or, you know, an Ian Happ or any of the names that we mentioned. So
I would be so happy we got Happ or a Bell and a Bednar. Get me a bat and an arm. I would be through the roof happy.
Yeah.
I know.
I would love if we got a bullpen arm under control for a few years. That'd be awesome.
And I know probably 75% of Guardians fans would look at the acquisition and go, who the hell are these guys? You know, it'd be that
stupid
scene
team.
Right,
they don't want to spend money
right out of major league. Like, who the hell are these guys?
Yeah.
And but these are quality players. And we've said it so many times. Those kinds of quality players help you in playoff series. I mean, Steve, I'm going to put you on the spot really quick. I know we want to wrap up here, but think back to your 2014, 2015 Kansas City Royals.
Oh, baby.
Now,
that you're team talking really like the Greg Holland, Wade Davis bullpens?
That. And their lineups. Think about their lineups. That was just a solid 1-9. There were no future Hall of Famers. I mean, Salvador Perez, probably withstanding, he's, I would say, fringe.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, it was a team that had the fewest home runs or close to the fewest home runs in the AL. They were just fantastic at making contact, getting on base, wreaking havoc on the base pass, played good defense. Yeah. I mean,
you had
guys like Eric Hosmer, Mike Moustakas, Alex Gordon, all in their primes. It's like, none of those names are even like going to sniff the Hall of Fame, but like those are incredibly.
They're talented ball players.
Valuable players. Yeah.
You know, I'm sure the Royals will one day recognize them in some capacity. But you know what? It's just unfortunate that they only had that 2-year window.
Made it count, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. 2 World Series appearances. They went to a Game 7, that like crazy Game 7 with the Giants, where Madison Bumgarner went like God mode that series. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
and it's been riding that achievement ever since.
I mean, it's that Kluber almost did that. Kluber almost did that in 2016. Like,
he did.
That's.
He did. But. I guess my thought is the moves that we've all kind of thrown out aren't, with the exception of a Juan Soto deal and probably even Brian Reynolds, which I think we can sadly say both are not as possible and not as likely as some of the other names that we mentioned. But none of those other names really, get the heart racing and, get the casual fan to come out and plop down $300 for a jersey. But they're going to make the team better. That's
not necessarily something this team needs. Yeah, no, exactly.
No, but it's going to make the team better. And I hope fans realize that when we make these deals.
Well, we will find out. We've got ourselves 1 week to go. There might be a move or two that happened before then, because sometimes teams like to get that little extra time in, but certainly heating up. So we shall see. Holy cow, and then we'll be back after the deadline. Yeah. Oh my God.
Jose Ramirez, we just traded for Juan Soto. Delete the episode.
Yeah. Start over, goddammit. All right. Well, if that were the case, we would do that. But somehow I'm not so sure that would happen, but we'll see. And we'll be back after the deadline to, break it all down. See how it looks. But until then, tell all your friends about us, and then also follow us on social at Cal Penal Pod. Rate, review, subscribe. That is always very helpful. And we'll catch you guys later.